we gotta reach these people because they've already tuned out.
Yeah, and I'm very excited about because I am definitely a fan of theater. I am very excited about the role my company potentially has, and to my knowledge, has actually been able to make manifest is this increase of interest in theater by people who wouldn't normally go.
Yes.
And I did a sci-fi B-movie show. I got to put every whiz-bang techno thing I ever dreamt of in one show, and it was called Spank, and it was at the Roundhouse a few years ago. It was a sci-fi. It was, like, totally out there. It was just, like, fun, crazy 3D. People, guy flying around in a harness and 3D scenography coordinated with the aerial choreography and so much fun. But it was a real sort of, you know, if you like Star Trek, you'll like my play, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And it wasn't for everyone, that's for sure. But there were people who came to that show who had never been to a play before or never enjoyed a play before, who said, oh, I'm going to go to theater. I was just so thrilled by that. Yeah. It was just like mission.
All the love that you're giving me, it helps me see what's right. All my life now, you've given me a chance to see your light.
you had told me 5 years ago, since they made their last album, that the Rapture would make something this dance-alicious, I would think you'd need nothing more than two double downs to satisfy that hunger. I'm looking for advertisers. I'll take anything. Anything's possible. Except they'll never show one product, and that's the Easy Zorb, because it's just a carpet. Don't buy it. Easy Zorb, it's terrible. However, I would suggest that you buy some stock in Shameless on 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver. With us in the studio, from the east side of Canada to the east side of Vancouver, this is Jose and Craig, and they are Diamond Dust. How's it going over there?
Very good.
Fantastic.
Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having us.
It's been a while since I had anyone live in the studio here with me. Months, in fact. And it's been even longer since you've been here. According to my calculations, it's not been since May 4th, 2008. Wow. Since I've been graced with your presence.
Mm-hmm. It was our first interview. And we just moved here, and now we're just going out again. So you're catching us on the way in, on the way out.
It's a pleasure to be your door.
It's a very pleasant door.
And we'll be talking quite a bit. We're playing your album as many tracks as you can fit in the next hour and a half.
Sweet.
And having a lot of questions. Lots of questions.
Good. We might even have answers.
I hope so. We'll talk about the album, about your tour. And of course, we'll be talking with my illustrious co-host, Natalie, who's always here.
I'm still here.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Nice. And I'm also joined by Mr. Ankur Kundi.
Thank you. Full name.
Yes.
Nice.
You deserve a full name.
Formalities. Okay.
Ank and I are going to be starting a show pretty soon, or trying to start a show. We're making moves.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Maybe we'll talk about that later. But first, I think we should play some of your record from Diamond Dust. How about we start at the beginning with Summertime?
Let's do it.
Tis the season, is it not? Tis the season of Summertime. On Shameless, 101.9 CITR.
The night feels like the day, and all I can say is I wish I could stay. Been given a lot of thoughts on thoughts. Well, we came up with this. If you've got nothing and even less than that, then what's the reason why you'd fear losing that? Hey, 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 listen what I say. We'll find a way, look again. We will make it, my friend. Bumpy roads, empty loads. Right in the backseat again. Couples and what's going on here. Changing, we just came back from the beach. Oh, can I get you to hold my smoke, please? My shirt in the front seat. Oh yeah. Overdrugs is why you should. It all sounds funny to me. How I reach your mind. Yes, Mr. Man, it's all in the name of fun. We're not doing nothing wrong. Just stand back with a smile and watch us put our clothes back on. With those wild eyes, I say, yeah.
the water. Rocking the way I feel better. Wishing this moment could be frozen. We hear some people approaching. And so we're sitting in the moonlight. It's nothing fancy, but it feels right. I dig your brand new rock and roll kit. It's exactly what the world's been missing. Oh.
play a few games of pool and listen to some great music.
Then come down to Guys and Dolls Billiards, one of the only billiard halls that allowed women to play when it started up in the 1950s, located on Main and Broadway next to Pulp Fiction at 2434 Main Street.
Every Thursday for the next 3 weeks, Guys and Dolls will be holding vinyl nights where you can bring along a favorite record and they'll play it a side of your choice while you enjoy a few games of pool.
Vinyl night starts at 8 p.m. and we'll have selected beer specials for the night.
For more information, give them a call at 604-879-4433.
Saskatoon, that is the Sheepdogs with Right on Shameless on 101.9 FM CITR. Not really been a fan of the Sheepdogs until I heard that particular track. They are in a contest right now, in the finals of a contest, to get on the cover of the illustrious Rolling Stone magazine. And for that alone, I endorse what they do.
Is that contest based on looks?
I think it is.
It is, eh?
That's how they got all the way to the finals.
So just wondering. It looks pretty good from here.
And they're also playing the Biltmore tonight with the Sadies over at 12th and Kingsway. They'll be keeping you up all night long.
That's right. They can come party with us next
That's
door.
That's right.
After party at the Diamond Dust Residence, is that what we're saying?
That's right.
Right next door. Yeah.
306 East 12th Ave. Apartment 101.
Somebody's moving. Man, I have a confession to make. I'm sure you all know about it because I've mentioned it like 50 times already. But I spent a good portion of the day planning out a great show and then forgot the paper that I planned everything out on. So everything else is on the fly, like a bird.
That's when good things happen, you know. That's how we know when you're good at improv.
Indeed. What I did plan was this first question for you. It's been a couple of years since you've been on the this program. What have you been up to since then?
Recording an album, man. Yeah. This whole time, we've so blinded by this whole process that we didn't really get anything else accomplished. Thankfully, we got that, and it was a big accomplishment, but it took us a while to get it out.
Yeah, it felt like forever to be action. You know, we spent 3 years to do it, and in the end, it really felt like about 3 days by the time we all just, you know, got down to business and felt really comfortable in the studio and just went in and played the songs and stepped away and went, wow, we're done. 3 years took 3 days, so.
Yeah, it was a lot of waiting and just planning and raising the money to do it, and then it just happened, and it was kind of like, wow, it's done, and it was like almost too fast. We weren't ready for it, and now it's finished, and we like almost can't believe that it's all finished because it was such a big leading up to it. But yeah, finally, so we can move on now.
Did that material change at all over the course of 3 years?
Oh yeah, I think there was much more emotion involved into it at that point because we'd been working so hard at it that it became so close to our heart that it was like almost like what we lived and breathed for, you know.
Right up to the last day, there was a couple solos I didn't even have written. You know, I was 8 beers in. I'm going, oh my God, what am I gonna play here? I'm sitting in this studio spending money and I don't have a clue what I'm about to do. Engineer just goes, record. And he just looks at me and I look at him and says, well, here we go. Let's see what happens. And one take has stayed. That's what it was.
Yeah,
there's a couple tracks like that on there where it was just one take, and it's like, well, we'll go with that.
It was quite magical because we had one of our friends come in, and I think that's where the magic really happened. Like, just to have a piece of home there, all of a sudden all this pressure just went, and we were just playing, and it was fun. And all of a sudden all this, you know, just like the angst or the pressure of having to pay for the studio and all this kind of external stuff to the music kind of dissipated. We had a friend, he was smiling, he was like partying with us.
Rocking out, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like more like a show, and it was so natural that it just kind of happened.
So with the writing process, how does a song like Summertime, the song that we started this off with, how does that come about?
Well, I guess I can talk about that now that I'm not working there anymore. Well, it actually started, we were like sitting in the summer, and it had been a really nice summer, and we're just kind of like playing at this guy's table, actually, this friend that came out to see us record the songs, and we were sitting at his table, and we just started playing the song, and we wrote most of it right there and then, and he was kind of just like listening in and shooting ideas, and it was kind of just really natural. Like the sun was coming in, it felt really kind of the bright ambience to write a song about summertime. But then I was working at a bank at the time, and it was kind of a slow day, so I was kind of emailing the verses to Craig during the day. So I wrote the other two, maybe a verse and a half, like anyways the rest of the song like a couple days later, and I just emailed them as I was working. So, yeah, very inspiring work.
Would you say there's still an East Coast vibe to what you do, what you write?
I would say, yeah, absolutely. You know, you don't think so?
Well, yeah, but I think we've always been kind of West Coast people at heart. Like, I mean, I've always wanted to come out here, and we're kind of very free-spirited, and we kind of like to move around, and like when we got here it really felt like home, and
yeah, enjoy the West Coast lifestyle, but I think the music is definitely, it's East Coast for sure.
Yeah, but we had like half the album was played by people that are from here too, so there's definitely that flavor because the musicians are from here, and we did wrote one song actually on the album. Get Along was written here when we first moved here, so all the other ones are from back there, so definitely have a feel of the East Coast. But I think the feeling of the being in the city and working with the people that we did end up working with, and just like being influenced by that, it did give it a more broader kind of feel to it. So it's really a cross Canadian record for us. It doesn't really have but we like to think of ourselves as just, you know, moving around. We're not attached to any place in particular.
Cool. And this city likes you.
Yeah. It was good to us.
Yeah, it was very good to us.
Sure.
This is the kind of city where someone can just hand you a CD on the SkyTrain and not know where it's going
to
go.
Yeah, that was good. We were just listening to that song.
Yeah, so I felt inclined with your song, Summertime, to play another track also called Summertime after that by The Harvest. And you hand me a CD, I'll probably play it.
Yeah.
I mean, track one was called A Pothead's Life, so I don't know what you person thought of you when they saw me, like, ugh, this is kind of music for you. But overall, I'd say it's credible stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So definitely check out The Harvest or see them around handing out CDs on the SkyTrain. You might be surprised at what you get. But for now, should we move on and play some more tracks of yours?
Sure.
Cool.
Let's go with track two. Off the Diamond Dust record.
Down the Coast.
Nice. Good choice.
Troubles on me. We washed up on the banks of city lights. I must have dozed long into the night. It feels just like home, but I still feel all alone. Maybe I'll retrace my steps and see what I've got left. God knows I hate this. My husband says don't get out on the shore. I'd like to go explore, but I don't have the guts. And he just thinks I'm nuts. Then why do I wear the family name and walk around in shame and leave without? He's so young and tall. I'd like to buy him drinks, and I'll love him till it sinks. Funny, my husband weren't here, and I could have him. Let me loose, I have no shooting star, make a wish. Honey, what did you wish? I did not wish. I wish tomorrow's not so cold. Well, I do fine. I give advice all the time. Age, I think I will not fall, but my husband's voice makes my skin. Oh, how long before this? But I still hate his kiss. My dreams are sweet and slow, and he will never know. Locals here to put something in her beer. That's why I always watch my back and never leave the track. For what's disease all where we're at. I don't want a moment. Still, I know she's watching me. I tried to fake a heart attack, but I can't get her off my back. I have a way out in my eyes. Now I'll need a new disguise. I'll hide between my husband's dead and I'm free. Now they won't ever laugh at me. Yeah, when my husband is dead, I'm sure. But they won't laugh at us anymore. No, they won't laugh. Now they won't ever laugh at me.
Listening to Shameless here on 101.9 FM CITR, broadcasting live in the great city of Vancouver. What we just had was some Diamond Dust with their track Push It. And as it so happens, it's my pleasure to have Diamond Dust here in the studio with me right now.
Yay.
How's it going?
It's our pleasure.
Enjoying the summer of listening to your own songs?
I haven't really listened to it all that much. We did so much listening and putting it together, you know, just need a break. This is good, though. It's nice to listen to it again, but we kind of took a long break of listening to it after because we did all our own editing and we were there the whole time during the mixing. And yeah, it was a lot of listening to this music that we created. We love it, but it was like painful after a while. Like, physically on the ears, but no, it's good.
During this past break while we were playing the songs, my good colleague here, Ank, asked a very great question. I'm not sure if I asked this, you know, years ago when we were on before, but where did the name Diamond Dust come from?
Well, actually, Craig could answer that probably better than me.
Well, I might be able to do the first half of it, but I don't know, I was just at home one day with a piece of paper. We were a then broke up band from the band I See, and we needed a new band name because just Joe and I were going to carry on forward, and I just started scribbling on a piece of paper, and the words didn't even really come out beside each other in any way. I just saw them and kind of linked the two together and texted it off to Joe, and she was like, yeah, that's kind of cool, I kind of like that.
Yeah, I've kept the text for a while because it was, I don't know, the numbers kind of felt significant to me. It was like 11-11-05, like Remembrance Day 2005. And I don't know, there's something to it. I was like, yeah, I didn't know what it meant, but I just thought it sounds cool. And then I got home and just Googled it and see what it really meant. And actually, the first thing that came up was it was a Wikipedia link, and it was like the scientific name for diamond dust was IC, which I just thought was mind-blowing at first. And then they started to explain what it was like these little specks of ice stuck in the sky, like, that would create those rainbows, like really, really small little piece of ice. And I was like, wow, this is beautiful and so Canadian, because, like, you know, snow, ice in the sky making diamonds is, like, just very trippy, magical.
Aurora Borealis.
Well, not, yeah. Sort of. It's more simple, I guess. It's just the sun reflecting on the ice, and it's kind of like a rainbow, but with little ice specks.
Speaking of which, she also gave me a plant a couple days ago, and he's doing pretty good.
He's
made it home, did he?
Yep. As a complete aside.
Yeah.
Aside.
So did you see the spirit yet? We're trying to show Jonathan how to see the spirit of the plant. It's pretty neat. If you really...
I've been looking.
Into that.
Natalie can vouch for my attempts at looking for the spirit of the plants.
What are you doing? I'm just staring at the plant. Leave me alone.
Well, you'll see it.
I'm watching them.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, back in that last set, we started it off with the track Down on the Coast.
Down the Coast.
Right, Down the Coast.
That's okay. You'll get one.
Which was heavily, a lot of harmonica in that track.
Yeah. Well, we were tracking the song. Actually, I wasn't there, but I heard the story, so I can tell if you want, because it's a really good story, but you can tell it better because you were there.
Yeah, well, we were just sitting there, and it was a bit of a slow day, and the guy I was working with suggested, hey, I think I could hear some harmonica on this track, and I'm like, well, you know what, today's kind of a hit and miss day, let's give someone else a shot. So we called in a guy by the name of Action Jackson, and he was quite the character. He was a big biker-looking dude, came in with, long orange hair, and he came in with these cases, and he sat down, and he looked at us. He's like, hey, nice to meet you, man, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, okay, Chris, what do you got for me, man? He goes, well, there's some whiskey there. And he takes this half a thing of whiskey and just skulls it, hit it, and he hits record, and he just blasts the song out 3 times in a row. And he was done. And he calls up this guy and goes, okay, man, I'm done, let's go. And this other kind of big biker-looking dude comes, picks him up, and throws him on the back. So off into the sunset, two big biker-looking dudes, one bear hugging the other from behind, go riding away down on West 4th. So,
and they were heading to Burning Man.
Yeah, they were heading to Burning Man.
So it was a perfect day.
We teased them the whole way out the door about riding the bitch seat all the way to Burning Man.
They did a good job, though. Like, for just coming in for, like, a swerve of whiskey and just, like, ripping. Never heard the song before. Just came in and played it off the cuff, and it was great.
That's the beauty of the Vancouver music scene.
Yeah.
Right there in one scenario.
Mm-hmm. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, everybody we played with was top-notch, and they just came in. They knew their stuff. They were really good, really mm-hmm. passionate about what they did.
Very pro.
And just nailed it. You know, the guy that actually played bass on the album, we've been over to his house a couple times afterwards, and it's a pretty impressive scene to walk into someone's house and you see some platinum records hanging on the wall. So you know that, you know the guy's got some mad skills, right?
Yeah. You're in good hands.
And he played for free, which was just amazing. Nice. Like, you know, when somebody does something like that, you know, they're really in it for just, they love music, and that's like a great, I don't know, it's just a great feeling to have somebody come on board like that and just to keep helping us. Like, we wrote like 12 songs with him afterwards, just hanging out. He's taking us out for dinner and just taking care of us, like showing us what the West Coast is all about.
It sounds as if the last 3 years have been nothing but, you know, road bumps and struggles, and then all in the very end, it pays off and everything works out better than it does for most musicians in the city.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there's truth in like having to earn your cred, you know, like nothing is for free in this world, and you have to work hard to get something great. And I think that was just, you know, maybe life showing us that we couldn't get it easy. Nothing comes easy, and you have to work to find the right people. And sometimes it works out that you meet them right away. Like, you can be incredibly lucky that this was what happened to you, but unfortunately it doesn't happen for everybody and didn't happen for us. But in the end, yeah, it was amazing. The last month of the process was like, wow, like, how come was, like, it was so hard, and like scheduling and just getting people's, to even just return a phone call or an email, it was just like a struggle. And then after that, it was just like bing bang boom, and it was done. It was like beautiful. And
yeah, it was really weird because the process was getting almost to the point of frustration because it just wasn't going the way we wanted it to.
Right.
And then like Joe said, in the end, the last 3 days were just like so perfect that we wanted to continue. It was like a shame that we were done. Yeah. We were like, okay, let's do another 12 songs right now, and we'll put like a double disc together. And
just, you know, so committed. Like, we'd really have to give a shout out to Sheldon Zaharko from the Factory Studios. Like, he would just, and we were into it, like, you know, to be working 12 hours a day, you know, because it's our project. But you wouldn't expect that from anybody else, to just, you know, like, stuff a sandwich in his mouth yeah. and just, like, run back in his studio. Like, who does that, right? We're like, you can chew.
You know, like, Sheldon, you know, do this? He goes, well, yeah. you know, man, sometimes bands, they generally take breaks, right? Like, really? Okay, we
were on such a schedule
time.
And we've, like, blown our budget so many times that we're just like, you know, let's just do it. And we're on such a roll because it was going so well that we forgot to eat, you know, we didn't barely drank anything. We just, like, there was this one day when I recorded that it was like 8 hours straight that I didn't eat, I didn't take a break even. I was just like singing the whole time, and I was like, wow, how did I do that? But I guess, you know, when you're really into something, there's like time just warps, and it just, you know, it happens.
Yeah, he was even pretty good at keeping us on schedule. Mm-hmm. Like, every time he'd see me reach to have a sip of beer, he'd be like, oh, he'd hit the record button, and I'd have to put it down and start playing again.
And just, like, the many hats. Like, you know, this is our first album. We've never produced anything. We didn't know how to, you know, engineer anything. And he was, like, almost our producer. We were like, wow. Like, he was a musician at points. I was just, like, we felt, like, so taken care of, and just, like, everything's going to be okay because this guy was there, and he was so good and so passionate about what he was doing. It was like, wow. You know, it was our saving grace, really.
And I've got a saving grace for everyone listening. Perhaps for the first caller into the studio.
Yay.
Can win a copy of your record, Diamond Dust. For free! All you have to do is call the studio up, and our number is 822-2487. That spells out 604-UBC-CITR. Although, if you're listening, you got, like, you know, an iPhone or something that doesn't do the classic numbers, that's 822-2487. And you can win a copy of this record, Diamond Dust. Hey, we got a call already. So we get a new track? Track 4. Here it is. Shameless.
We'll be right back. 2011, Vancouver was a little slice of heaven. Then the Nooks had to go and lose the Stanley Cup, and Zach Chan felt he had to fuck some shit up. When I had my first Pompeii, it didn't cause anything like that horrific Wednesday. Into the streets our little Zachy boy ran, throwing the can of Pompeii from his hand. If Chan can start a riot, then I can start a war in this dog-eat-dog world of ours. Just wanted to riot more. If Chan can start a riot, then I can start a war. They say his heart is black and it's rotten to the core.
Your midweek roots music fix every Wednesday evening with Folk Oasis, featuring the latest releases from Canadian and especially BC artists, as well as phone interviews and live studio sets with local and touring artists. Folk Oasis, two eclectic hours of roots music, always a Kumbaya free zone. Wednesday evenings from 8 to 10 p.m. on CITR FM 101.9. and www.citr.ca.
I'll be seeing you. You know that I'll be seeing you.
I'm a sucker for movies and parks. Hence why I played that last band. Also because I like them quite a bit. They are Velociraptor. From their self-titled EP, that was Clever Girl. And I think now is a good time as any to mention that coming up on July 5th, Stanley Park will be playing Jurassic Park in the park.
Sweet.
I'm a sucker for movies and parks. And since I just saw Jurassic Park at the Rio, I think I might go see it again.
And we had the marathon.
We did have a marathon, our own personal Jurassic Park marathon. Never enough as far as I'm concerned, never enough. And then we had some Diamond Dust, you guys, before that. Congratulations go out to Tim Lowe, who just won himself a free copy of the Diamond Dust record.
Woohoo!
Maybe we could facilitate another giveaway?
Sure.
If we can do it in 25 minutes?
Music is free, man.
That went fast. This whole show's gone fast. But hey, next caller at 822-2487 can also win themselves a free CD of Diamond Dust. This fine, fine music that we are playing. But now I feel like it's a good time to talk about the tour that you're about to go on.
So you're about to leave this fine city and head out on tour. Is this the first tour of this magnitude that you've done?
Yeah, it's the biggest for sure, because there's no end sight. So we're just going to hit the road and we'll stop when it's time to stop. And we're just going to keep booking as we go.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been... we've done a couple just really small tours around. It was really easy to plan, but this is... something else for sure. Very big.
So how did you determine that now was the time to go on tour?
Finished record. As soon as the record's done, it's like, let's go, let's get out there.
Yeah. It wasn't like an actual conscious decision, like in the planning, like ahead when we were, because we're so immersed into the process when we were creating the album and just getting it done, because it took so long and it was so hard to get everything together. Then when we were done, it was like the weight got lifted and we could really see, like, the next step was pretty determined for us almost. It was like, well, that's the only logical thing you can do.
And what would the first step be in planning a tour?
Well, I'd say deciding where you want to go would be a very important start, because then you start making like a kind of outline of where it is in general you want to go, and then you make it more defined. It's like the little points and then the little points in between. So that's how you would really do that. That's how we did it.
Yeah, our a big criteria for us too is like finding the people. You know, we didn't care, or we don't care where we play. We'll play street corners, bars, venues. It's just wherever the people want to come together and sharing some music, we're willing to provide that for them. So. It's
true, we did put some feelers out before because we were looking for musicians, and the place where we got the most responses is where we decided to stop, because there was obviously a hub of people already interested in that. So, yeah, that would probably be our first step, really.
It's got to be challenging to try and determine where to go to a place you've never actually been to.
Yeah, well, the first one came pretty easy to us because we decided Calgary, and we looked up Calgary, and right when we were leaving Vancouver, you know, the Calgary Stampede started July 7th. We're like, wow, no more people come to Calgary than they do for the Stampede. So, you know, we didn't even book a venue there. We just said, you know, let's go out and work the streets. We're going to set up some amplifiers, and we got ourselves a battery-powered system that was about 50 watts, and we're just going to hook up a little street concert and see how it goes. And that's how that was like the start. And then from there, we're like, okay, now what do we do? Because not every single city is going to have a Stampede going on, right?
It made a lot of sense for us to start in Canada, so we just kind of went with the biggest cities, to be honest, and just like pinpointing those. We're just like, well, there's more people, there's going to be more opportunity to reach people if they're already there, and then we're just going to make our way from city to city, because it's our first album and we're Canadian, so we're like, we can't really just go to US and be like, screw you, Canada, you know. This is where we got to start, so, and we're out west, so it makes sense for us to be going east and then back again later on.
Because when you first started, you were from the east.
Yeah.
And you came out here, you also moved out here from the east. Did you tour at the same time, or did you just pack up and move?
We were going to, but as faith has it, we got into an accident in Montreal on the way, so the car got totaled, and we couldn't really afford another car, and we were just kind of in the middle of all this stuff, so we just decided to take a plane ride and come here directly. Yeah. So it didn't happen this time, that time, but this time it's definitely happening. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, so now we're afraid to get in the car because we're just like, oh no, what if we repeat history and crash this thing again?
Because you're also touring with all like your stuff, and you also have your album merchandise and some band equipment too.
It's a huge leap of faith because like we've modified the car to accommodate exactly what it is that we need. Like we got a cargo box on the top of the car, we ripped off the back seats to make more room, so the car is pretty much unsellable at this point. Like it's not worth anything. It's worth everything to us, but if we were to crash it or if anything happens, it breaks down, like we'd need probably a van, or like it would be just, I don't know, it's not gonna happen. A car will hold on, make it on the way out east.
You are on the road making it out on the way out east. How would you plan to keep, you know, sane or happy or motivated while you're on the road?
Well, I never really thought about losing my sanity on the road. So, I was like, is that going to happen to me, Jonathan? Yeah. I don't know. You know, this is just something for myself. I've been looking forward to this forever. You know, it's been since I was like 5, I started playing guitar, and as long as I can remember, it was like, okay, well, musicians, they travel, and that's what they do, right? So it's been just a long road to get to this point, and it never really dawned on me that it's going to be tough. You know, it's just part of what we need to do, and it feels really like what I was born to do, so.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, like, we haven't really foreseen it being anything bad at all. Like, if anything, like, it's our salvation. The way we see it, right? We've been working at this for so long, and now we finally get to do what we want, so I don't see how it can get, you know, a drag or, I mean, like, I guess in the long run maybe, but like right now it's just, I'm so excited to just get out there and do it.
We're gonna be,
yeah, we might change our mind once we've done it, but we've never actually done it for any length of time longer than, you know, a couple weeks. So this is really exciting for us. We're going to be living in a tent, so this might get a little old. And I'm not a big fan of mosquitoes, so I'm sure that'll get old really fast. But we're planning to be, you know, housed in places. They're going to give us places to sleep, so every once in a while we'll have a nice change. But I think just like to be on the open road and have different places to sleep every day, and just to wake up to different scenery and see all this stuff and meet all these people, like how could that really get old? Like it's a dream, right? For us, at least it is.
Is there anywhere you're particularly excited to stop by?
Well, I think, to what we've got booked so far, Lake Louise sounds like it will be a nice stop, and they're treating us very nice there as well, so we're looking forward to that.
Absolutely. I've never actually been there, but I've heard it's a treat for the eyes, and there are very cool and nice people there, so hopefully it'll go well. Really excited.
You said you're going to go till you can't go anymore. Does that mean you're going as far as, like, Labrador?
The East Coast is a little bit undefined for us right now because it will depend on the weather, for one, as we get further out and the later into September and whatnot. If it gets too cold, you know, we plan on using the weather to our advantage and going south. What I meant by the end was just like, I don't know what I meant by the end. There just no, it is no end. It's not like we've said, okay, we're going to start in Vancouver and we're going to do the full circle from west to east, east to west, and end in Seattle and come back up to Vancouver and repeat. You know, it's just, you know, we may go east to west, and if something, opportunity arises, like maybe Europe will happen, you know, or, you know, it's just, this point for us, it's anything goes, and it's just about getting out there and making it happen.
And you're actually going to move, like, wherever you stop, that's where you'll set up camp and live there forever?
No, I don't know where we're going to
end. I see it more as we're going to be perpetually moving. I don't see myself settling down anywhere anytime soon anyways, unless I absolutely fall in love with a place, but I think the idea of being somewhere different every day is more appealing than settling anywhere.
As far as home in Canada goes, it will definitely be Vancouver, because we can't stand the snow.
Vancouver is such a beautiful city. I mean, we've spent 3 years here, and it was really beautiful. The rain is a bit of a drag, and the overcast, and not used to so much gray, but, like, I mean, there's so much beautiful nature here, and the spirit of the place, and the people, and all this new age kind of stuff going on with medicine, and, like, alternative ways of living, and just, like, the importance that's put on nature really touched us, and we're looking forward to coming back, but, you know, we don't know where we're going to settle again.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Looking back on the last few years of Diamond Dust, is there anything you would do differently?
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the learning curve for us to come into a city such as Vancouver that is very rich with, you know, producers and engineers and studios, and, you know, it seems all the music makers are really active out here compared to what we saw in, you know, so Ottawa, where we were from. You know, Montreal was very active too, but with Joe being the only French-speaking one, it really wasn't fun for us.
Sava.
Yeah, Sava. Like, obviously there's things that we would do differently, but, I mean, ultimately, we kind of feel like we had to go through that. It was our first record, and we had to find the right people, and I don't think anything's supposed to come easy if it's going to be great, and that was part of it. And we kind of thought that it was going to be hard. We didn't know it was going to be that hard. And, you know, we met the people we met for a reason, and it just happened that way. And ultimately, it all worked out because we met the right people in the end. It was why it was kind of hard to get played around at first because, you know, we're just starting. We didn't have a lot of money to throw around, and we kind of got the run around a lot, and we got treated like second-class citizen a lot from some people, you know. At the end of the day, I understand everybody's got to put bread on the table, and they're going to go to the people that are going to provide that for them. But, you know, it was hard to not get that kind of attention that we knew that, not that we deserve anything more than anybody, but at least the same kind of consideration that anybody else would get. So it was kind of hard at the beginning to kind of deal with that kind of stuff. And then we finally met some people that were more into it for the music. You know, there's a lot of talk of people saying, we love the music, we want to do this, you know, because we love the music. And then when it comes at the end of the day, it's just about the paycheck. And it's really heartbreaking for us to kind of collide with that kind of thing. But, you know, in the end, I think all this hard work paid off, and it made us stronger, and it's made us really, like, more looking to the character of the person, like, we can tell more than just appearances now. And, see the real out of all this fancy glitter in this
world. It made the record better, for sure. The record is beyond our expectations.
Massage something, the better it gets, right? And then the more you want it, the more you work at it, you know, the more hungry you get to get it to a certain point, and at the end you're really at a breaking point, and I think it showed, and there's a lot of emotion in it. And it made it better.
And finally, do you have any advice for bands that are thinking about touring? If you think about that.
It's just have fun, man. You know, it's just life. It's worth living the way you want to live it. You know, there's no rules, there's no expectation, there's no guidelines to success. It's however you define it. And it's up to you to.
I'd say, yeah, have fun is a really good point, and just be relaxed, you know, just take it day by day. It can seem like a very daunting task at first. You look at all this work that needs to be done, but if you're very lucky, you have people around you that are willing to help. And if you put together as a group and you can really do it day by day and just call one person at a time, really spend the time to, you know, create those relationships and just really be kind and cool and just be chill, you know, when you, nobody wants to, like, a excited, stressed out person talking to them on the phone. Nobody reacts to that. So, you know, just take it in strides and just everything, just trust that everything in the grand scheme of things is going to work out.
Running on and I'm losing. sometimes running on down the everywhere. It's better fine than not to know, but it's not easy to let you go.
Looking for something to do come Canada Day, I might recommend checking out those guys. They are called Oh No Yoko, and they are playing the good old Cobalt. With the likes of Humans and Teen Days, should be nearly as dance-alicious as a good time as Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. You've been listening to Shameless on 101.9 FM CITR. And it's been a great pleasure to have Diamond Dust here in the studio.
Thank you so much for having
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having us.
It's always a pleasure.
This will be the last time I'll see you. You'll be leaving Canada Day, won't you?
We're actually going to stick around on Canada Day. If it's nice, we're going to be around Science World, just playing an acoustic show there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be touring all the way.
Yep. Ain't no stop in sight.
I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thanks to Ank coming out.
Yes.
Right on, Ank.
We'll see you later.
In the future, yep.
And you, Natalie.
As always.
You can hear this show again at CITR.ca again and again and again and again. On a podcast form and every other show. But first, let's end off on a Diamond Dust track.
It's called Dream With Me. That's the last track of our record.
A thing of beauty.
Thank you.
to a place where you